Invite you to turn with me this morning in your Bible to Psalm 67. Psalm 67. And while you're doing that, just a mild adjustment on the announcement regarding the forum. We'd like to start that at 11 o'clock or shortly around there. When the kids will do their singing time, when they're done, grab your coffee and cookie and come on in. We'd like to be done at 11:45 so you can get your things ready for the potluck. And again, the Lord has given us a beautiful day for that. If you're visiting here today, we'd love to have you join us for the potluck. There's always plenty for all, and looking forward to that. Psalm 67, we're taking just a short break from the series on the Gospel of John. And this morning, I wanted to just share with you a little bit some vision for where we're going as a church, or where we believe God wants us to go as a church. One of the things that the elders have been doing once a month, about we gather together, not for the session meeting, but just for a time of fellowship and prayer together. We have a great meal together, and then we pray for each other, and we talk about some of the big items on the agenda of where we are as a church, where we need to go as a church, and prayerfully having one mind on that. This past week when we met, we talked about where would we like to see God lead us by 2030, particularly in some areas where we're not as strong and where we believe that God wants to strengthen us as a church. And this morning's text really talks to that, where I believe God is calling us to be more engaged, more intentional about mission. And that's not just foreign mission, but home mission, about the lost people right around us and lost people all over the world, and our calling as God's people to be engaged in that. And Psalm 67 is about that, and we're going to be looking then at God's Word this morning. Psalm 67, let's give our attention to God's Word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us, that Your ways may be known on earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Let's ask the Lord to bless His Word. Father, thank You for this precious psalm and for the wonderful truth it contains. Give us ears and hearts to receive it, to delight in it, to see Your purpose for Your church, Your calling on us, and Lord, with joy then to participate in that. And we give You the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start by just asking you this morning, what is it in life that makes you the most happy? What are the things that bring you the most joy? Maybe it's some time spent alone with your spouse, maybe sitting at a nice restaurant enjoying a great meal without the kids. That's a good night. It can be all kinds of things. Maybe a special vacation you took this summer or plan on taking. Maybe it's a great book and just sitting in a nice chair on a rainy afternoon and having time to read. That's a good day. Maybe it's the deep satisfaction of a job well done. Whatever it is, you know what it is. Things in life that God has blessed you with, things that bring you great satisfaction, deep joy. Well, have you ever considered that the deepest joy, if you are a Christian, that you'll ever know in this world is the joy of knowing Jesus and the joy of making Jesus known. Knowing Christ and making Christ known. If you're a Christian, is in fact the deepest, most profound satisfaction that you can have in this world. There is a deep joy in being engaged in God's gospel mission. And that's true whether you're sharing the gospel with your kids and just telling your children about Jesus, or maybe it's sharing Jesus with your neighbor. Maybe it's sharing Jesus with a stranger. Maybe it's going to a faraway country and sharing Jesus with people who've never known. But there is something within every born-again Christian. There's that desire to talk about the goodness and grace and love of God in Jesus, particularly with people who don't know. It's a spirit-born desire, and it's a desire that joyfully permeates Psalm 67. A few months ago, a friend sent me a sermon by Samuel Miller. Samuel Miller was a Presbyterian pastor back in the early 1800s. He was one of the founders of Princeton Seminary. And he preached this sermon to rally the Presbyterian denomination to be engaged in really supporting and sending missionaries. The Presbyterian denomination was very large, 170,000 about in the early 1800s. And Miller just rebukes them. They had 30 missionaries they were supporting. And Miller says, we should be sending 500 missionaries. And in fact, Princeton Seminary became a hotbed of missionary activity, where it came to a point where a third of seminary graduates were going to the mission field from Princeton Seminary, a full third. When I went to seminary, the number would have been a few percent, five. But Princeton Seminary became this place where the Spirit of God was moving, and there was eager participation in the mission of God. And one of the reasons is because of this sermon that Miller preached. His primary argument was that the last command Christ gave to the church was go and make disciples. It's the last command. And he pointed out that the early church took that command with utmost seriousness. The book of Acts is the evidence of the early church understanding Christ's call to them, his command, and so they went. The apostles went, and as the church grew, it was scattered, and people went, and deacons went. People were sharing about Jesus throughout the world of that day. And Miller points out that's what we ought to expect when the Holy Spirit is at work, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And so Christ, who came to this earth and gave his life so that lost people could be saved, dead people could be made alive through his work, when the Spirit of that Jesus is at work, you ought to see people then interested in, earnest about, the mission of Jesus. In fact, Miller put it to the audience as he was preaching. He said, if I could go through the room today, and if I could determine with some special insight whether or not you have an interest in spreading the gospel of Christ, if I could discern that, I could, by that test, determine whether or not you're actually a Christian. Because if the Spirit of Christ is within you, that desire will be there. To some degree, it'll be there. I think that's absolutely true. If we were to talk together and just share, I think we would all say, if we're genuine Christians, we do desire people to be saved. We want people to know. But we're often held back either by fear, it's uncomfortable, or we just don't know how. But the desire is there. I remember Holly Vierink. Some of you won't remember her or know her, but Holly Vierink was a wonderful saint here for years at Harvest. Holly passed away when she was maybe 56 from cancer. And I remember Holly, in the final year of her life, rejoicing that through her cancer, God had removed the fear of speaking to other people about Jesus. And she, the joy of sharing the gospel, she would go to her chemotherapy and she would just have these conversations, because there's people sitting there, they got nothing to do as they're receiving the treatment, and she was able to be bold and just begin making relationships and start talking about Jesus. And the joy that she received in that was so great that she was able to say that she was thankful for the cancer, because God used it to take away her fear of witnessing. And her face would just beam as she talked about it. I'll never forget it. I was talking just recently with someone who went on the Boardwalk mission trip, Beth DeBoer from Grace Fellowship. She told me she'd always wanted to do something like that, but she'd never been able to before. And she said the trip was just such a joy as she found that she was able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to talk to strangers about Jesus. You can talk to Bo Gotch, an elder right here at Harvest Church, who went and talks about the hair standing up on the back of his neck as he just experienced the Holy Spirit at work through him as he was able to speak about Jesus, and the Spirit is just bringing Bible verses to mind as he's talking. And some of the conversations that he was able to have with people were just so clearly God at work. Well, I hope you found that to be true in your own life. Don't you sense that when you have the opportunity to share with someone about Jesus, don't you just feel the Father's smiling face? Whether or not the person responds as you'd hoped, but you have an opportunity to have an honest, sincere conversation with someone, answer some questions, and explain the reason for the hope within you. Those conversations, even though there's maybe as a sadness when the person doesn't respond the way you'd like, there's also the sense that this is what God wants me to do. You sense the smiling face of God, and there's a joy to be found in that. In fact, I think that being engaged in mission in some way, intentionally, and that can be right in your own home as you're leading family devotions, as you're teaching your children, but also as we're moving it out, right, and we're looking and seeing our community and seeing our world. To be engaged in that is one of the deepest causes of joy in the Christian life and in the church. I've told you before about the impact that First Assembly of God had on me as a young man, 22 years old. And I'll never forget walking into the building the first time, and I was there to find out all the problems with this church so I could go and rebuke the young people from Coopersville CRC that were going there. And so I was ready. I come in armed, and I was blown away by the joy. People were so happy to be there. The music is pouring out of the auditorium. People are singing even before church got started. The joy was just infectious, and I'm convinced that part of the reason for that joy was because that was a church that was committed to missions and evangelism. They were fully engaged in the mission of God. If you don't believe me, you can talk to Mitch and Lori Bohr. They were there. Amen? Amen. And that's the joy that I'm eager to grow in together as a church. Just this joy of knowing Jesus and receiving the gospel, trusting in the grace of God for our lives, and then the joy of sharing that with people who don't know, and people who are lost and confused and in darkness. The light hasn't dawned yet on them, and we get to tell them about our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Psalm 67 is a wonderful manifestation of that joy. It's a very short but very happy psalm. There's no cry for help here. There's no lament. There's no confession of sin. This is a psalm full of blessing, words like blessing and praise. It talks about God's smiling face and his saving power and the nations singing for joy. It's a very happy psalm. And at the middle of this exuberant psalm is this desire that God's ways would be made known all over the world. So you see words like the earth and the nations and the peoples. The psalmist desires that the saving ways of God and the saving power of God would be broadcast over all the world so that the nations are glad in God and glorify Him as they worship Him. That's the psalmist's desire. Well, let's take a look at the psalm and then take some time to apply it. So I'm going to have just 4 points here. The request, verse 1, the reason, verse 2, the goal, 4 and 5, and then the confidence, 6 and 7. The request, verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. This, of course, is the Aaronic blessing taken from Numbers 6, verse 24 through 26. And remember, the Aaronic blessing is not a prayer that Aaron was offering up on behalf of the people. If you read there in Numbers chapter 6, what actually happens is God commands Aaron, put this blessing on my people. In other words, this isn't a prayer of Aaron, it's a promise from God. So God says to the people through the mouth of Aaron, God himself is saying, this is what I will do for you. I will bless you and I will be gracious to you. God is speaking it. This is who I am towards you. You can expect this from me. You can expect the countenance of my face to be upon you. That means that God is, you have his attention and you have his favor. His love, his grace is for you. God is for you. He sees you. And it's God's promise to you. And on the basis of that, then we can ask for it. And that's what the psalmist is doing here. He's on the basis of the Aaronic blessing, on the basis of God's promise to be these things, he says, oh Lord, let it happen. May God be gracious to us. And may God bless us and make his face to shine upon us. And he goes, as he speaks this, of course, this is the deepest desire and joy of the Christian. To have the face of God smiling upon you. God lifting up his countenance towards you. This is where the burdens of life fall away. This is where as the grace of God is made known to you, this is where the guilt and shame is washed away. This is where the anxiety falls off. This I know, the psalm says, Psalm 56, this I know that God is what? For me. God takes thought of me. When we receive that, well, that transforms your life. Whatever you've come in here with this morning, whatever burdens, griefs, sorrows, those things go into proper perspective and fall away when we receive that this I know, God is for me. His face is smiling on me. If God's face is smiling on you, are you going to be okay? Yeah, you're going to be okay. Is this going to end well? It's going to end very, very well. Are you going to make it through? You're going to make it through. The countenance of God's face is on you. You are loved by God. It's the most wonderful, wonderful truth in all the world. It's the greatest blessing God can give us, the blessing of promising his presence and love and care and grace for us individually. Now, why does the psalmist ask for those things? He asks for them partly because he wants to experience them, but notice where he goes in verse 2. So that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all peoples. So God be gracious to us and bless us so that the world might know. So that in some way, as you bless us, we might be a part of your saving mission to the nations. Bless us so that in some way our life may make known God's saving ways and saving power. You see, the blessing of knowing God is meant for the mission of God, or at least that's where it goes. Something for us to think about is, as consumeristic American Christians, we tend to assume that God's blessings are simply for our enjoyment. So we pray for a good marriage because we want a good marriage, and we pray for a healthy family, and we pray for material blessings because we'd like to enjoy material blessings, and we believe that God wants us to enjoy them too. I mean, Paul says that God richly provides all things to us for our enjoyment. That's what Paul says. And that's all true. Right? It's true that God wants us to enjoy his blessings. And I hope you are enjoying them and giving thanks and praise to God for them. But that's only one of the goals that God has in mind when he blesses us. The other goal is that we might use those blessings, whatever they are, health, relationships, family, homes, jobs, finances, whatever blessings God has given to us, God's intent is that we would use those blessings to bless others in Jesus' name. So Paul, immediately after saying that God gives us all things richly to enjoy, shows us the best way to enjoy those gifts. He says, do good, be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for yourself and taking hold of that which is truly life. The enjoyment that God intends when he blesses us with his gifts is not just our enjoyment of the gifts themselves, but the deeper enjoyment of sharing those gifts in Jesus' name. We're meant to be channels of God's grace, not cul-de-sacs. The deepest joy, actually, Jesus says it's more blessed, it's happier to give than to receive. And if that's true, material blessings, it's all the more true of the gospel blessing. It is a great joy to receive the goodness of God and the grace of God, but there's another joy, maybe a deeper joy even, to share that joy with others, and that's what we see here in Psalm 67. Remember, the writer here is an Israelite. He's living in this small little country that God has blessed beyond imagination. God has revealed himself to them and given them his word and given them prophets and teachers. God has blessed them that they might know his ways and see his saving power. Israel, this little nation, has received all this, and they are surrounded by a sea of paganism where nations are worshiping every sort of man-made god imaginable. All these people around them who don't know the ways of God, who haven't experienced the saving power of God. And the writer, he wants them to know it. He looks around at the Philistines and the Amorites and Amalekites, and they don't know what God is like, that he's merciful and compassionate and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. They don't know that. They don't know of God's saving promises to be a God to them and to their children after them. They don't know of God's saving power. They don't know. They don't know about the joy of having all their sins forgiven so they don't have to offer up their children on altars of fire, hoping that somehow that will appease the anger of the gods. They don't know the wonder of being a child of God and having his face promised to them. And the psalmist wants them to know that the peoples, the nations, would come together and worship and praise and rejoice in God. And friends, we're surrounded by people who are just as lost as the Philistines and the Amorites of old. Our community and our world is full of people who know nothing about the saving ways of God. They don't know. They've never heard of Jesus, his miracles, his truth. They don't understand what it means that Jesus died on a cross to atone for sin. They have no idea the significance of his resurrection from the grave, that Christ has conquered death. They don't know John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his own son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They don't know. They don't know that they can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, that they can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be brought from death to life. And our heart's desire is that they would know. Our heart's desire is that they would know. The Joshua Project estimates that there are about 5,000 people groups in our world today with 0.1% or fewer Christians. 0.1% or fewer Christians. And there's no evidence in those groups of self-sustaining gospel movement. They estimate that those groups have a total population of just under 2 billion. That's a lot of people. Almost a fourth of our world. People have almost no chance of hearing about Jesus from someone in their own people group. So how will they ever learn? How will they ever know? Well, someone will have to tell them. Someone will have to tell them. There was an old song I remember as a kid. Some of you will remember it. I remember three ladies, a trio, singing it. That just is the voice in my head. The song was Everybody Ought to Know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Wouldn't we agree with that? Shouldn't everybody ought to know who Jesus is? If he is all that we believe him to be? And the second verse goes, everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. I think we could say amen to that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if to see men and women and boys and girls right from our community coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and professing faith and having their lives transformed and have the joy of seeing adult baptisms happen right on this stage. One of the things I shared with the session this past time we got together was, let's just pray that God by 2030 would give us the joy of seeing 15 people a year being baptized as adults. Because we've been sharing about Jesus and the Holy Spirit's been at work. And we're seeing people come to faith in Christ. And wouldn't it be wonderful to, if God would just send out missionaries from every part of the world to every part of the world so that God is, by his grace and power, turning this lost and wicked world into a choir singing praises to him. That's the desire of the psalmist. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. This is not a sentimental wish for world peace. This is a robust, full-throated petition for the nations to be glad in God and to rejoice in God for the glory of God and for the joy of the peoples. And this desire of the missionary is inspired by the Spirit of God. God is the great missionary. God is the one who has expressed his delight in making known his saving power, in making his goodness and grace known to people who don't deserve it. God's delight is in doing that. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And so we live in a world that's just bound over because of Adam's sin to disease and darkness and decay. We live in a world where there are unspeakable tragedies and common indignities and ultimate vanity. And God's mission in the world is to gather his sons and daughters from afar, from every tongue and tribe and nation, so that they might come to know him and his saving ways and to rejoice in him. And it's going to happen. Right? Revelation chapter 7. It's going to happen. John says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. What a day that will be. It's going to happen, and that's how the psalmist closes in verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Mark Furtado, in his commentary here, points out that where we read God, the earth has yielded its increase, is better read, the earth will yield its increase. It's a prayer for a future event, but said with such conviction that the writer speaks of it as if it has already happened. God will bless us. The nations will fear him. The psalmist is absolutely confident, and the reason he's confident, because he knows his God and remembers the promises of God. He knows what his God is like. He knows what his God is about. His God is not just an Israelite deity. He's not a tribal God. He's the God of all the earth. And his desire is not just to bless his people, but to make his people a light to the nations. He says that clearly in his word. In fact, he called Abraham. Remember, he says to Abraham, I will bless you, and through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's God's missionary zeal. That's his goal. And of course, that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, isn't it? Where Jesus, the son of Abraham, comes and Jesus becomes the light of the world. Jesus becomes the bread sent from heaven, as we've been studying in John, the Gospel of John, that one may eat of it and not die. That's who Jesus is. And the psalmist, again, just wants us to be engaged then with joy in this great mission of God so that the nations know that God is mighty to save and God is gracious to forgive and that God will carry out his task until all of his children are gathered in. That's the message that we've been given and the mission to which we've been called. Christopher Wright says this: Jesus did not give a mission to his church. He formed a church for his mission. He formed a church for his mission. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, you will be my witnesses. You are going to be the light of the world. You're going to be the salt of the earth. That through his church, God is going to manifest, reveal the glory of his name and the wonder of his grace for sinners through the church. Through us. We just need to remember it. J.D. Greer, in his book Gaining by Losing, says, I can't think of anything more important for the church to recover than its missional essence. It's what Samuel Miller was talking about 200 years ago. And God used that message and brought a transformation about. And so the Presbyterian Church became a leader in world missions. I'm excited to see Harvest becoming more and more intentional and joyful in gospel mission, right here at home and around the world. I love hearing the stories of the people coming back from Boardwalk and just the opportunity they had to share Jesus with strangers. And we can do that right here. We can just start talking about Jesus and get excited about sending out missionaries. God is raising up, brothers and sisters, God is raising up young men and women right here at Harvest whose desire, their heart's desire, is to be sent to be missionaries. We need to know how to support that and to send missionaries. See, you see, let's be a Psalm 67 church. Let's be a Psalm 67 church where our greatest joy is to see the peoples whom God has brought right to our doorstep and the nations rejoice in God. Let's raise our children to know that the greatest joy in life is to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. Sometimes when we talk about missions, people get nervous. Well, but what about our kids? What about our children? And I'm convinced that the best thing that we can do for our children is to let them know that Jesus loves you and Jesus has a purpose for you, that the greatest joys in life are not just to be found in believing in Jesus and then pursuing the American dream, that the greatest joy in life is to believe in Jesus and to be engaged in some way in making him known. So that our kids understand what they're about as the part of the church of Jesus Christ and what life is for and why God gives us blessings. It's one of the best things we can do for the spiritual health of our children and for the spiritual health of the church. So what will that look like as we prayerfully together move in this direction? Well, it'll just look like us asking the Lord to lay this on our heart, that we care about the nations. I remember talking to a guy, and you'll understand this if you have kids. He was dying of brain cancer some years ago. Dying of brain cancer, a Christian. He wanted to be healed. But the thing that he wanted more than anything else was for God to move among, he had some of his children were not walking with the Lord, and that God would intervene and save his kids. And some of you know exactly what that feels like. Well, that desire for God to save our children is the same desire God wants us to have for the nations. Well, that we have a burden to see people saved, to see people brought to Jesus Christ, that Christ might be magnified and worshiped and trusted and adored, and the grace and goodness of God would just spread over the earth like the waters cover the sea. And we just want to pray together as a church. Lord, give us that vision, give us that understanding, that way of seeing the world around us and understanding who we are as the witnesses of Christ. And so we start praying for people that we know to be converted, and we start praying for opportunities to share the gospel with them. Maybe we ask them to come and join our Bible study or our small group so they can begin to mingle with Christians, and our small groups become intentional about Psalm 67. Maybe we invite someone to read the Bible with us, and we just start reading the Bible with people who don't know anything about it. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. But as the Spirit moves us, those will be the sorts of things that start happening, and we're keeping our eyes open for opportunities just to talk about Jesus with people. It'll look like sending and supporting missionaries right here from Harvest, so that we're fully invested as a church in the mission cause, as well as supporting denominational outreach and missionaries. But we're taking short-term mission trips right here from Harvest to go support and encourage the missionaries that we're sending. It looked by the grace of God like people being converted and baptized and made disciples of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. And above all, friends, it looked like joy. It looked like joy because we're sensing the smiling face of God as we're engaged in the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ in a very intentional way. And again, that can happen right at home. Can happen at your school, happens where you work, it happens as you shop, and it happens as we go abroad. And there's joy in it. Let me give you this quote from Campbell White. This is 1909. "Nothing can wholly satisfy the life of Christ within his followers except the adoption of Christ's purpose toward the world he came to redeem. Fame, pleasure, and riches are but husks and ashes in contrast with the boundless and abiding joy of working with God for the fulfillment of His eternal plans. Those who are putting everything into Christ's undertaking are getting out of life its sweetest and most priceless rewards." Let me read that one more time. "Those who are putting everything into Christ's undertaking are getting out of life its sweetest and most priceless rewards." What can you do? Let me just give you a few things as we close. I would encourage you just start praying that God would increasingly give you this joy. We want to be a Psalm 67 people. And then start becoming informed. It's very encouraging to just start becoming aware of what's going on out there and what God has done in the past. Read missionary biographies like Amy Carmichael. I've just started a book by Ian Murray about Amy Carmichael. Elizabeth Elliot has another one. Just an amazing story. Short little book. You could easily read that with your kids. But you start to sense what this missionary zeal and spirit looks like and how it works. To the Golden Shore by Adoniram Judson is another classic one. We're having this conference come up in September. This is not just to entertain us if you don't have anything else going on September 26th. We're doing this conference because we're praying that God would make us a Psalm 67 church. And we're having speakers come in like Chad Vegas and Brooks Bucer, people who are engaged, fully engaged in the mission and have amazing stories to tell of what God has done. Brooks Bucer was a missionary for 20 years with the Yembe Yembe people. It's an amazing story. Your kids will want to hear these stories. And so I just encourage you, sign up. We'd love to have this place full of Harvest people. We're inviting other churches as well. But it's a wonderful way to begin to get a vision for what God could do through us as we talk about the church being God's sending agency. His missionary agency is the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the psalmist's desire. It's the desire of God's saints. Through the ages, when the church has thrived, when the Holy Spirit's been wonderfully at work, these are the fruits you see. And I'm just asking you to join me in prayer that it would be a work that we see right here, that God would give us the grace to increasingly become a Psalm 67 church. Let's pray it together. Father in heaven, you have blessed us so much with material blessings, but all the more you've blessed us with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've blessed us, Lord, with the word that we have in our own hands. You've blessed us with preachers and teachers who teach us and guide us in these things. We have podcasts and books filling our homes. Lord, we have been blessed with so much knowledge about God and His ways. And Lord, we've been blessed with a a calling and a command from our Lord Jesus Christ to make it known. And I just confess, Lord, in my own heart, the ways that have just gotten busy with life and busy with ministry, and I don't see people. And I confess that sin and pray that you just open my eyes to see and care. And I pray, Lord, you would do that in this whole congregation, and that we would see the beauty of Jesus in such a way that we want to talk about him. And we care about people. We want the nations to be glad. We want the peoples to rejoice, that God might be glorified as the saving power of God is made known in our day, right in this place. Oh God, please help us to become increasingly, by the power of your Spirit, a Psalm 67 church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.